refreshing. See young people serve the Lord. We give God the glory, don't we? I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. There's so many themes to be taken at this time of year, and all of them worthy of our attention. All of them can be enlarged upon. But I read the story most often quoted concerning the birth of Christ, beginning with the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark an expression we find in the 10th verse. The expression is great joy, great joy. Every preacher, every person who teaches and preaches the Word of God should have an intent in his preaching. Some people would call that a thesis. This is what it's all about. And so when you deal with a subject like the subject which we read about here, I want you to know one thing, that what took place on one night in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago stretches through everything in life and affects everything else we do for the rest of life. So the Bible says, great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is one of the reasons I believe the gospel is for all people, not a limited number of people, not a certain group of people, but the God I know and love and serve and have served for all these years is a God who offers a free offer of the gospel to all men. The Bible says that this message that the angel brought unto them was, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," all people. How do you describe this great joy that the Lord brought? We've looked in the Word of God and found several specific things about Mary and Joseph. Mary was distinguished among women, most favored of God. She was the chosen woman to be the woman to bring forth what God sent forth in the world. And Mary brought forth what God sent forth, his only begotten Son. The Son of God, God Emmanuel, the word means God with us, brought to us all these wonderful things and more. If I started just for a moment on all the things we have in Christ, I could never finish the list. Over and over, we'd be naming things. But the truth of the matter The angel said, it's going to be great joy. How do you measure such a thing? Great joy. We've studied the life of Joseph, the man to whom Mary was espoused to marry. Joseph had found out that Mary was expecting a baby, and he knew that he had no physical relationship with Mary. Mary was so shocked by the announcement that when God spoke to her, she said, how can this thing be? I know not a man. And Joseph and Mary knew they had not had the kind of relationship that two people have when women conceive and bring forth a child. So God explained to Joseph in a dream that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she was going to bring forth the promised Messiah, the Son of God, to be robed in flesh. Robed in flesh, that's what the word incarnate means, to be robed in flesh. And he would be brought up in a poor home, and they would have the opportunity to have in their home the Son of God. We believe in God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. We believe in God the Son. And we believe that God the Father and God the Son are co-equal, co-existent, eternally existed. Jesus Christ did not begin in a manger. He had no beginning. He is the great Creator God. And the great Creator God became a man without ceasing to be God. Born in a manger, God came to dwell with us to accomplish what God intended to accomplish. In God's great intent that he announced for humanity, a Savior was to come. And that Savior was to pay the sin debt for the whole world. The word Savior implies he's saving us from something, and he saves us from sin. Why great joy? Why great joy? May I say to you that most people who say they know the Lord as their personal Savior, that have asked God to forgive their sin and by faith have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, have only touched the hem of the garment of this great joy. May I also say to you that the longer you know the Lord and serve the Lord, the more that joy means to you. And it'll mean most to you when you depart this world and you take your last breath on this earth and take your first breath in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and see that everything he promised is true. We have the guarantee of it. The Lord Jesus said concerning his death on the cross and his resurrection, because I live, ye shall live also. That's a great promise, isn't it? We have God's word on it. And some people take a skeptical position, and as skeptics, they try to prove or disprove what God says to be true. But I choose to take God at his word. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing, to take God at his word, no doubt about it. Now, the Bible says in the gospel according to Mark, if you'll turn there just for a moment, in the closing part of the gospel according to Mark, the Bible tells us God's intent for his children. And in Mark chapter 16 in verse 15, the word says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what God's intent is, for those of us who know him, to go all into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's still our commission. That's what God gave us to do. I want you to notice the similarity of that in this announcement the angel made. Again, the angel spoke in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And he said unto the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's never changed. It's to all people. The message is Jesus Christ is the Savior and is to be given to all people. When the Lord was finishing his earthly ministry and commissioned his disciples, he gave what we call the Great Commission five times. once in each of the gospel records, the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to John, and the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It is all about what he commissioned us to do. He said in Matthew in the 28th chapter, if you go, I'll go with you. He said in Mark, the verse I just read to you from that chapter in the 16th chapter, that when you go, miraculous things will happen. He said in the gospel according to Luke, these were all statements he gave after his resurrection. He said, when you go as my witnesses. And the noun comes before the verb. Most of the time we talk about the things we're to do. The action, that's a verb. We go do this. Witness can be a noun or a verb. But he said in the gospel according to Luke, ye shall receive power and be witnesses unto me. In other words, you are a witness. Can you imagine for a moment if every person in the whole wide world who says he or she is a Christian was obedient, doing what God gave them to do? It's beyond imagination to think what could happen if you were a witness and I was the witness that God commanded us to be. He made it so clear in the gospel record of John in this 20th chapter. He said, as the Father has sent me. That's what we're talking about. God the Father sent God the Son to be born of a virgin in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. But why? He sent him to bring us salvation. And the Bible says Jesus spoke in John chapter 20 and said, as the Father has sent me, in the same way the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And the fifth time this commission is given is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Lord Jesus said, commissioning his disciples, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And do you know, for the last 2,000 plus years, that's never changed. We're to evangelize, get the gospel message in our Jerusalem. We're to evangelize and get the gospel message in our Judea, in our Samaria. Many times that believes in witnessing to people you don't even like, who annoy you. But we have a responsibility that's greater than that. It's given to us by God to get the gospel to them and take the message of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying when you celebrate Christmas, don't leave all God wants us to do just with the celebration of a day. My wife and I enjoy celebrating Christmas. I must say that I enjoy everything about Christmas. She especially makes our home a beautiful Christmas place. There's all kinds of things reminding us of the Christmas celebration. My children and grandchildren and now great-grandchildren come into my home. And now it's not just putting gifts in their hands, but they're putting gifts in our hands. Sometimes some of the most unusual things, because kids can think of things that are out of the ordinary. But they make us very happy. And I hope your children are making you very happy. The celebration of Christmas is a very happy time. My wife and I look forward to being with our church family, with you. And we love you as family in Christ. But all of this is connected to the great joy. Maybe you'd like to stop when the angels came to announce this glad tiding to all the people. Just what do you mean by great joy? How do you measure something that you call great, this great joy? Well, let's take a stab at it. I want you to hold your place here in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. and turn with me, if you would, to what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bible open to the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. The book of Hebrews is about Christ. And everything about Christ is better than everything that existed before. It's about Christ as a better sacrifice. Everything we have in Christ is better than anything offered in the Old Testament. And so when we deal with all the things about Christ in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1 of Hebrews, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the world. Notice God's about to give us a list concerning Christ. He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and beholding all things, holding all things by the word of his power. The word of God says, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And the Lord deals with these things. Verse 10 of chapter 1. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And he goes on and on all through the chapters. The Bible says in chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first to be spoken by the Lord, began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And we've heard him. You keep traveling through the book of Hebrews, you come to the 8th chapter. I want you to come there with me. Chapter 8, verse 1. And the Bible says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. And I'd like for you to mark that word sum. If you've been in a math class as an elementary student, the teacher's tried to explain to you what the word sum means. So God uses the same word for us here. He says, I want you to know that all we're talking about can be summed up when we talk about Christ this way. Let's read carefully what he says. Some, colon, we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now God says, if you want to summarize Christ and his wonderful ministry, this is the way to do it. Don't stop at his virgin birth. Don't stop at his sinless life. Don't just give attention to his death on the cross or his bodily resurrection. Sure, these are significant things and must be known by all God's people. You should see that he was raised from the dead and had spent 40 days with his disciples, so he left them with no room for doubt about who he is and what he's come to do. Then they saw him as he walked to the Mount of Olives and ascended to heaven. And the Bible teaches us where he ever lived to make intercession for us. But God says, I want you to sum up all of this. In other words, connect Bethlehem. Connect the temptation, sinless life. Connect the sinless life with his death on the cross. Don't ever talk about the cross without the bodily resurrection. And not talking about the bodily resurrection with his ascension. And God says, now he ever liveth, he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. And he makes intercession for us. He even says, the man Christ Jesus, who ever liveth, to make intercession for us. And the way God wants us to sum it all up is that everything God intended has been accomplished. Not just the virgin birth, but the sinless life. Not just the sinless life, but his vicarious death on the cross. Not just his death on the cross, but his bodily resurrection. Not just his bodily resurrection, but his ascension on high. I want you to see Jesus high, holy, exalted, lifted up on heaven's, the Father's right hand, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's the sum. How do you see him? How do you see him? Victorious, conquering Lord. How do you see him? Turn again with me, if you would please, to what God says in the book of Colossians. I think these verses should be memorized from Colossians chapter 1 and following. This whole book is about Jesus, what he came to do, and what God says about him. Look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or they're held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's not one of, that's the one and only, the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Everything you want to know about God, you can find in the Lord Jesus. Now we come to verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or they be things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Look at chapter 2, verse number 3. In whom he hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Think of that. So, why the joy? Why great joy? Because we have the joy of redemption. We're alienated from God, but we're brought nigh to God. We now know the Lord because Christ made that possible as he, the God-man, came to reconcile us to God. There was nothing God needed to do to reconcile himself to us, but we need to be reconciled to God because of our sin. And so we say Jesus came and brought great joy, and the great joy is the joy of Christmas. But not just Christmas, but the great joy is that I know the Lord and I've been reconciled to God. And you can know the Lord and be reconciled to God. We have the great joy of reconciliation, the great joy of forgiveness. My sins are forgiven. I don't have to face that anymore. Christ forgave my sin. He conquered all of that through his death, burial, and resurrection. God the Father saw that he was satisfied with Jesus and his payment for my sin debt. And so I have joy from the Lord because my sin's been forgiven. So much of the world wallows in the guilt of their sin. There's so much misery among people. If you served as a pastor for a while and listened to people talk, listened to their sorrows and woes, you'd understand that so much of it can be traced to the fact they've never known the free forgiveness of their sin. But God said, I bring you great joy. And in that great joy is the forgiveness of your sin. In that great joy is a home in heaven. The worrying and fretting about where you're going when you leave here can be over. A person who's been born again, who's asked God to forgive his sin and by faith trusted the Lord as Savior, can rest with real assurance that when you lay down the robe of flesh and you stop breathing, you're going to be with God. Now, quite frankly, I'm being very frank with you. I want everything I've read about heaven to be true and much more. I have no cling to any of that except by faith. And all of it rests in the person of Jesus. When Jesus faced death, he faced death and conquered death. When he faced death, as I said earlier to you, he said, because I live, I die, I rise from the dead. Because I live, ye shall live also. So I have the promise. I have that assurance that when I stop breathing here, I'll see Jesus. I have the joy that I'll be with my loved ones forever who know him. Think of that. Some of you think about the sad part of your life with the parting of loved ones. I want you to know when the angel announced there's going to be great joy, the great joy included the fact that heaven will be your home if you know the Lord, and your loved ones will be with you forever. No more parting there. Isn't that joyous? One of the sad things that we deal with is parting of loved ones. People in this church who have stood with me and prayed for me and encouraged me and said goodbye. But it's not goodbye forever. And there's great joy in what Jesus does because I'm going to meet him again. I'm going to see him again. There's great joy. And I can give you a long list from the Bible of other things that I have because of what Jesus came to do. The only thing I'm saying to you is to summarize this. Everything God intended for us to have can be ours. Everything we lost in Adam with our sin, we can gain greater because the Savior came and paid our debt, who came to live in us. Hope. The Bible talks about hope. And that if you don't have Christ, you have no hope. Think about what the angel said. I bring you great joy. That means great hope. And being hopeful, we can have that. My mother's in heaven. My father's in heaven. I just talked to my sister yesterday. She's still dealing with cancer of the worst kind. And the conversations we have with one another go a little like this. We know there's not the end of it. We know we shall be together forever. There'll be no end of our relationship. And I talked to my other sister. Same kind of conversation. She says, honey, I have victory that all is well with God, and I have hope. The only reason we can say that is because the message of the angel was about the joy of Christmas. Great joy. Great joy. And when you start unpacking that joy and see all it has, the truth is it has everything we need. I didn't even know I needed some of these things when I started out in life and when I came to know Christ as a teenager. But everything has been answered of this great joy. The Lord knew it all, and he gave it all to me, and he gives it all to you. And I rejoice in it. Let's bow in prayer together.